How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 58 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head out to iTunes and you can search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review once you're there. Find us on audioboom.com too. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage. I'm on every week now, Monday through Friday. Lots of Thunder coverage for you. And before we start, just some quick bullet points, some news. Steven Adams' ankle update. He sprained his right ankle against Real Madrid last Monday, so a week ago now. He's been out for that past week. He did go through what Billy Donovan called was controlled. He used the word controlled as a practice. Very limited contact, some movement on the court. His status is TBD for the Thunder's next game. That's the second bullet point, which is Tuesday night. So this podcast goes up Monday morning. I'm recording this shortly before the debate on Sunday night because Lord knows we got to watch this one. But I am recording this Sunday night, Monday morning, going up. And Tuesday, we got a game. First game played on U.S. soil for the Thunder. Third preseason game. It's in Dallas against the Mavericks. Thunder play that at 7:30 p.m. So that's Central Time. And that's on Fox Sports Oklahoma. So you'll be able to watch that one just like you are every other Thunder preseason game. The first two were on NBA TV. This one's Fox Sports Oklahoma. And if you're in the Oklahoma City area, I believe if you're within 75 miles of Oklahoma City, you're able to stream those final three preseason games as well, which is one in Tulsa against the Memphis Grizzlies, and then the final two at home in Oklahoma City against Denver and against Minnesota. Full mailbag today. Haven't done one of those in a little while, so let's get to it. From Alan Chambers, what do you think the chances are that Sabonis wins Rookie of the Year? So this is interesting because I don't think Sabonis is going to win Rookie of the Year. Remember, you got all the drafted guys. You know, you got the Ingrams, you got the Buddy Hields, you got the Chris Dunns. And don't forget, you also got Joel Embiid, who is not going to play back-to-backs, is going to play limited minutes. But if he's as good as he looks like he could be in the preseason, he's got a decent chance because he's going to have a lot of hype too. There's going to be, you know, as sad as it is, as much as it shouldn't be like this, there's narrative that goes into any award and winning any award. And Rookie of the Year is no exception to that. Now I couldn't find Rookie of the Year odds anywhere posted. And I believe that is because Ben Simmons got hurt and is out for the first 3 months of the season or so. And because of that, they have to rework those Rookie of the Year odds, and I guess they haven't put them back up yet, or I'm just incompetent in trying to find them, which is a distinct possibility too, because I'm incompetent in lots of walks of life. So here's what the odds were at the end of September, before Ben Simmons actually got hurt. Simmons was plus 150. That means he's 1.5 to 1 or 3 to 2. Brandon Ingram was plus 650, so 6.5 to 1. Chris Dunn was plus 700. Joel Embiid plus 900. Buddy Hield plus 1400. Denzel Valentine plus 1800. Jaylen Brown plus 2000. Jamal Murray plus 2000. Thon Maker plus 2000. And then you come upon Domantas Sabonis, who's plus 2500, as are Taurean Prince and Bryce Johnson. So that gives Sabonis what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th best odds. He's the 11th pick. You know, maybe if you like those odds, if you think that he maybe has the 5th best chance or something like that, then maybe that's a bet that's worthy if you're asking what the chances are and whether those chances are worthy or whether you're taking a risk on. We don't know what it's going to be now that Simmons got hurt. now that Sabonis had a really impressive first couple of games, now that it's looking more so than it did before that Sabonis could start at the beginning of the year, considering he started in the scrimmage and then he started those first two exhibition games and looked good and looked like he belonged and played really well, I think, in both of those games on both sides of the ball. Played above average games on both sides of the ball. So what do I think his chances are? If Vegas had him at 25-1 and Simmons got hurt and he had a good game, I don't know, 18-1. I assume you weren't asking that scientifically. I assume you were just asking, do you think he can do it? I think he's going to make an all-rookie team. He's too polished not to make an all-rookie team. I think if things go well, I think he's going to have a really good rookie year. I think the expectations shouldn't be unfairly high. They shouldn't be that he's going to tear the world apart. But he knows where to be. Billy Donovan's talked about this. It's just obvious. He knows where to be on the court. He knows how to rotate on defense. He knows how to help. He knows how to close out on shooters. He knows how to create a little bit out of the pick and roll. He knows how to create. If you give him two dribbles, not as good. Give him one dribble, he can create a little bit. He can do something. He's left-hand dominant down low, but he's fluid and he's got post moves. If you get him on the run, he's got some moves that he can put up once you get in the ball in those pick and roll situations. I'm into Sabonis. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be all rookie. My guess is that it's going to be someone like Ingram or Dunn who ends up taking it over him. Rookie of the year. Even if you're the best rookie of the year tends to be dominated by stats. It's always counting stats. You know, it's the Michael Carter Williamses who end up winning it, you know? You know, Carter Williams who really didn't have a great year his rookie year and was on the team, which I believe the Sixers had the fewest wins in the league that year. If they didn't, they had darn close to the fewest. And Carter Williams put up good counting stats on that team, and he won Rookie of the Year. I mean, that's what tends to be every year. It's kind of that. It's a counting stat award. Just like Sixth Man is a point scored for a guard award, Rookie of the Year is a counting stat award. And I think Sabonis has a better argument from just being a really good player, which is great. It's what the award should be. Unfortunately, it's not. We're talking about him actually winning it. I'd say he's probably not going to, but I think he's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to have a good career. I think he's going to be a good player. Next from Taylor Peterson, if you could talk about who you predict will develop most for the Thunder come the end of the regular season into the beginning of the playoffs. I think that's a good question because there are a lot of really young guys on this team. So if you look at just the young players on this team, I mean, Kanter still counts as young, 24. Adams still counts as young, same age. Oladipo, same age, young. Sabonis, who we just talked about, 20. Abrines, 22. My guess, maybe I'm going out on the limb a little bit on this one, is that it's going to be Abrines who develops the most. Now, if that means that he's playing a ton, I don't know. But I think his development is going to take him the farthest. Now, I think Sabonis is the young guy, the rookie, who's going to play more and is going to get more of the publicity and is going to be the more integral player on the team. But I think he's got a higher starting point than Abrines does right now from a quality standpoint and from a development standpoint as well. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Abrines develops his body because he's very skinny. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Abrines translates translates his style, which was running off a lot of screens, and if he's able to find space in a quicker NBA game. This is something I wrote about how important his ability to run off of screens is for this team, how important it is for the Thunder to develop this, for the Thunder to make sure that that trait carries over from the Spanish League into the NBA, because the Thunder need guys. They need guys who can move off the ball for threes. They have some decent cutters. They do have some decent cutters. Those are basket cutters. You know, Oladipo and Robertson are going to pull off ball cuts to the basket from the corners, from the wings. They're going to do that pretty well. Adams is really good at rolling to the rim. Sabonis, we've learned, can even make plays for others while rolling to the rim. Kanter is good while he rolls to the rim because he's just super skilled and a great finisher on the offensive end. They got guys who can cut and can move off the ball. The issue is they don't really have another guy who you're going to run off a pin down for a three. And that's Sabonis. That's not Sabonis, that's Abrines. That's the guy who you're going to run in the opposite direction. You don't want all your motion going in the same direction. You want some sort of balance in your offense, and I think Abrines can provide that. I think Fender are going to work hard in order to develop that trait with him, and that's something we saw from him a lot when he was in Spain. But it's different. It's different when you have to improvise that stuff, and that's something I wrote about in this piece. It's went up on normantranscript.com on Sunday. Check that out on my blog, Fender Road. It's about how Abrines is used to an offense and a style that's predicated on running a lot of different types of plays, calling a bunch of different types of plays. And now in the NBA, which is a lot more improvised, it's an improvisational atmosphere in the NBA. He's got to become a little more instinctual, which is something I think the Thunder think that he can do and that he can develop. But I think that's why I think we're going to see him develop the most, because intellectually he's going to have a lot to learn. And I think early on, we might not see him knowing as much as he does, say, in April, when he's recognizing defenses more. He's recognizing personnel more. He's got all this new personnel to learn. He's got to go through the league one time and just see guys and understand how certain teams play defense, how certain coaches scheme, how some teams are going to guard him. He doesn't know how teams are going to guard him yet. And then when he finds out how teams are going to guard him, he's got to adjust to that. And then he's got to see how teams adjust to his adjustment. That's what good players do. That's how it makes good players. Everyone in the NBA can ball. Everyone can play. The good players are able to adjust to adjustments before the defense can adjust again to that adjustment that you're making. Those are what the really good players can do, and that's what allows players to become rotation players, constantly adjusting their game, adjusting style. If Abrines is able to do that, I think we're going to see his game. I'm not saying he's going to be the best player in the Thunder, but I think he's going to make the largest leap if that's something that he's able to do. Related question from Hurley Fry on Twitter. More minutes this year, Abrines or Morrow? I think for that exact reason, I think we're going to end up seeing Abrines get some more minutes. I do. I think Abrines can do a little bit more than Morrow. I think he's a little bit better of a ball handler. If I just say the idea of Abrines is a little bit better of a ball handler. Morrow is one of the best shooters in the world. He's an outrageous shooter. He's an absolutely amazing shooter. That's why he's in the NBA. He's just a phenomenal shooter. But we saw last year, Anthony Morrow is in and out of Billy Donovan's rotation because of defensive concerns. And I don't think Abrines is going to be a world-class defender, but I think it's easier to get away with that kind of stuff when you're a rookie and teams are trying to develop you. I do. They can pin their hat on just the hopes of there being more of a ceiling for you, of you getting better, when, you know, Morrow's a guy who's been in the league for a long time and this is who he is. You know, they can hope that Abrines can get a little better. I think Abrines is a little bit better of an athlete too, so they hope he can get better on that. And like I said before, Abrines is a guy who could potentially run off screens for three-pointers. And Morrow, while he is an amazing shooter, and he'll move sometimes, but Morrow, for the most part, is a standstill guy on the perimeter. He's not really darting off screens. He's not darting off pin-downs. He's not running off staggered screens. That stuff's not happening. It's not happening. You're not running a flare screen to get Anthony Morrow open. You're not going to do it. So you're putting him in the corner. You're putting him on the wing, and you're having to keep his defender out there, and that helps. That helps with spacing. And I think you will get minutes because of that, because the Thunder need to find shooting. But I do think Abrines ends up with some more minutes by the end of the year. Now, maybe that starts out at the beginning of the year because Abrines is a rookie and he's young and he's learning and he's developing. Maybe it starts out at the beginning of the year, Morrow's getting more. But I think at some point, mid-season, near the end of the season, there's an overlap, and Abrines ends up passing him by the end of the year in the aggregate minutes category. That's the way I would guess it's trending. Next from, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing this, Jordan Mangias. If Sabonis continues to show such promise, do you see a trade of Ilyasova or LaVerne? And I'm actually going to combine this question with a question from Dustin Russell on Twitter, which is, given it's preseason, but with Domas and Dre looking good with the starters – If a trade happens, will it be to deepen the bench? Here's what I think is important when you take into account just the action of making trades. And this is something that's true for every single trade scenario. It's not true for right now. And I'll even preface this by saying the Thunder have to make a trade, or they have to make a transaction. The Thunder have to make some sort of transaction. They got 16 guys on the roster. They can only have 15 at the start of the year. They got more than 16 on the roster. They have 16 who are going to be guaranteed at the start of the year. They can only have 15. Somebody's got to go. 16 minus 1, or 16 minus 15 is 1. 16 minus 1 is also 15, but that is a weird way of phrasing it. 16 minus 15 is 1. They got to get rid of 1. Probably going to be a front court player. I assume that's where these questions are coming from. So the Thunder front court consists of Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, Domantas Sabonis, Jeffrey LaVerne, Mitch McGarry, Nick Collison, and Ersan Ilyasova. One of those guys is probably going to go. Now, it could be as easy as waiving McGarry, who's got the cheapest contract of any of those guys and who isn't playing in the first 15 games. But there are other scenarios which could happen too. There are other things that could go down. You can make a 2-for-1 trade. And here's what I'm getting at. When you make a trade, when you're going for a trade, if you're Sam Presti, you're not necessarily looking for bench help. And I don't think you're necessarily looking for starter help. You're trying to feel out the market for the best value. If that means trading Ilyasova, if you think his value is the best, great. If that means trading LaVerne, if you think his value is the best, great. But if they're going to trade LaVerne, it's got to be a 2-for-1 if they do these deals. Because you can't trade LaVerne for one guy, Ilyasova for one guy, Kanter for one guy, McGarry for one guy. And I'm just saying names. But you can't trade any one player for one guy because you still have 16 then. You got to go a 2-for-1 if you're going to make a deal. And you got to bring back, presumably, you got to bring back value if you're going to make one of those trades, as opposed to just, waving your last big man. So I don't know if they're going to approach this as bring back something to strengthen the bench. Now, if you're going to trade, Ilyasova, you got to bring back shooting. Ilyasova is the best 3-point shooting big man on this team. He's got a role. I know people, think he didn't play great in those first two preseason games. First of all, they're two preseason games. Are we really going to use them to wipe out years of evidence that we have of Ersan Ilyasova as a player? Yeah, he's got flaws. He had the same flaws in the regular season over his first, I don't know, however many years he's been in the league. He had those same flaws in the regular season every other year that he had in the preseason. He can shoot. He can screen okay. And he can shoot. He's not the greatest defensive player in the history of the world. That shouldn't have been a shock. But he can shoot, and that's a big trait for the Thunder. So I don't know what they'd end up bringing back in a trade, but it's just got to be something feeling out value. I don't think it's like when people ask, should the Thunder trade for fill in the blank player? Should the Thunder trade for this guy? The problem with that question is you don't know the value you're giving up for this guy. These transactions, every transaction is connected to another one. And every transaction is just a way to try to find value. It's saying that you value something else more than what you value what you're giving up for whatever reason. For whatever reason. Whether it's because you value it because of what you're getting back for on-the-court talent, for off-the-court talent, for some way that this person or player is going to help the organization, is going to help the company somehow, you believe that somehow you're bringing back more value, whether it's a smidgen more or a lot more. It's all just about feeling out value, and I don't think it's smart to pigeonhole. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself. By saying, we want bench help, we want starter help, you bring back the best value. Finally, from James Anderson, does Josh Huestis start a rotation spot? Earn a rotation spot. Not start. Earn a rotation spot. I'm starting to think he might. I think he's at least going to be given an opportunity. Billy Donovan talked today a little bit about how there's a chance he could play a little small ball four in opportunities. It's obviously something they tried with Andre Roberson in the past. I mean, the thing with Huestis, and Donovan also talked about this today, which is that Huestis was guarding front court players in college. Now, he's had more than 2 years to try to adapt to becoming a wing. But there's some players adapt slower than others. And maybe that's something that could help him if he played a little bit of small ball four. You get him a little bit closer to the rim in some cases, maybe. Maybe that could take advantage of his athleticism, his explosiveness around the rim, his ability to block some shots, his ability to protect around there. Maybe that's something that could help a little bit, and you don't necessarily have him scrunching up the floor with a lack of shooting on the wing, as opposed to, you know, it's a little less detrimental at the four than he is at the three. But I thought Huestis played a pretty decent defensive game during that second preseason game, and Kyle Singler got a DMP. Huestis played 19 minutes, and Singler got a DMP. Now, I don't know how much to read into that. I don't, but the one thing I think we can take away is at the very least, during the preseason, Huestis is getting a chance. He's getting a chance to show himself. And if he's getting that chance, I think there's a pretty decent chance that he earns some spot in the rotation. Now, I don't know if he maintains it for 82 games. And I don't think that means necessarily 19 minutes a night like he got. But the Thunder are weak at wing. They've got Robertson, they've got Huestis, they've got Singler, they've got Abrines. They've got Morrow. They don't have really anybody who goes two ways. You know, Abrines is a shooter. Morrow's a shooter. Neither of them are known for their defensive abilities. Huestis, good defensive player. Robertson, great defensive player. Neither of them known for their offensive abilities. Singler was kind of down on both sides last year. So, if Singler's going to perform like he did last year, all of a sudden Josh Huestis has a good possibility to be that number two small forward behind Andre Robertson. That's something. I mean, that's an opportunity that I think he can seize. I think he can take that over. There's a decent chance of that. And I think he's going to be in the rotation in parts. Whether he maintains is, you know, something we'll have to wait and see. Whether it's right off the bat is also something we're going to have to wait and see. But I do think there's a pretty decent chance that Josh Huestis is in this team's rotation at some point, maybe in the near future this year. Before we go, remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes and you can subscribe to Lockdown Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and you can check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and just see what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow. That's when I'm going to do a preview of the Mavs game, which is going to be, again, Tuesday night, 7:30 Central Time on Fox Sports Oklahoma. You'll be able to watch that, or you can carpool down with me to Dallas for the game if you're really feeling like it. But until next time, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.